Chapter 4. The Cave of the Cyclops. They sailed through the night, relieved to be away from the drug-like magic of the Lotus Eaters. The next land they found was a small, uninhabited island. It was wild but fertile, overrun with wild goats. The crews landed and feasted on fresh meat, resting for 3 days. Across a narrow stretch of water, Odysseus saw smoke rising from the mainland. He saw the shapes of giant sheep pens and heard the bleating of flocks. Curiosity, his oldest weakness, began to pull at him. "I must see who lives there," Odysseus told his crew. "Are they civilized men who respect the gods, or are they savages?" He took his own ship and 12 of his bravest men. Before they left, he filled a large goatskin with the dark, potent wine that Maron, the priest of Apollo, had given him at Troy. It was a drink for heroes, sweet and dangerously strong. He also took a bag of corn as a gift. They rowed across the channel and beached the ship. The mainland was rocky and steep. Near the water's edge, they found a cave. It was not a normal cave. The entrance was high and wide, framed by laurel trees. A massive stone wall had been built around a yard, creating a pen for great flocks of sheep. The cave was empty, but there were signs of life. Odysseus and his 12 men entered cautiously. Inside, the cave smelled of milk and old wool. It was vast, like the inside of a mountain. Along the walls were crates packed with heavy wheels of cheese. There were pens crowded with lambs and kids, separated by age. Bronze vessels stood ready for milking. "Captain," one of the men whispered, looking at the cheese, "let's take the food. We can drive the lambs to the ship and sail away quickly." Odysseus shook his head. "No, that is theft. We are guests. We will wait for the owner to return. Perhaps he will offer us a gift of hospitality." It was a mistake. They lit a fire and ate some of the cheese, waiting in the shadows. At sunset, the ground began to shake. Thud, thud, thud. The owner returned. He was a giant, a cyclops, a monster with a single round eye in the center of his forehead. He was as tall as a tree and carried a bundle of dry wood that would have crushed a wagon. He threw the wood onto the floor with a crash that terrified the Greeks. They scrambled into the deepest shadows of the cave, hiding like mice. The cyclops drove his flock of ewes into the cave to be milked. Then he turned to the entrance. A massive slab of rock lay there. The giant lifted it with ease and set it in place, sealing the door. Odysseus felt a cold chill. The rock was so heavy that 20 wagons could not have moved it. They were trapped. The giant sat down and began to milk his ewes. The sound of the milk squirting into the pails echoed in the silence. When he was finished, he stoked the fire. The flames leaped up, illuminating the back of the cave. The light fell upon the Greeks. "Strangers," the cyclops boomed. His voice was deep and rough, like stones grinding together. "Who are you? Are you merchants or pirates?" Odysseus stepped forward, hiding his fear. He knew he had to speak well. "We are Greeks," he said, his voice echoing in the vast space. "We are returning from Troy. The winds blew us off course. We come to you as suppliants. We beg you to remember the laws of hospitality. Zeus watches over guests and strangers." The giant laughed. It was a cruel, wet sound. "You are a fool, stranger," the cyclops sneered. "Or you have come from very far away. We cyclopes do not care for Zeus or his laws. We are stronger than the gods. I will not spare you out of fear of Zeus. I will do exactly as I please." Suddenly, the giant lunged. His hands, huge as shovels, grabbed 2 of Odysseus's men. He lifted them high into the air. Before they could scream, he dashed their heads against the rocky floor. The sound was sickening. The giant tore them apart and ate them, crunching on their bones like a mountain lion. He drank a massive bowl of pure milk to wash down the meal. Odysseus and his remaining men watched in frozen horror, weeping and raising their hands to Zeus, but they could do nothing. When the monster was full, he stretched out on the floor among his sheep and fell asleep. His snoring shook the walls. Odysseus drew his sharp sword. He crept toward the sleeping giant. He spotted